Let the great experiment begin!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
This is bad!
Send you to hell. I will not, as a pastor, allow that to be said by any child that's under my leadership or under the sound of my voice. I will chase every sodomite. I will chase every lesbo. I will chase every political leader with the power of God, with the chariots of fire, that these children be not misled.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fat people need not apply.
Roll another one.
Bravo, bravo.
Just like the other one.
Barefoot and pregnant.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa Airline before?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Sodomites rule.
Roll, 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 roll another one.
I myself am a drummer.
Just like the other one.
Are you insane?
This one seems to be about sense.
You guys are dicks.
I don't have another cent.
You gotta think big. Hookers. Blow. Hookers.
But don't bogart that joint.
I literally have 1,000 questions.
Just pass it around.
Why not me? This is America.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Whoop. There it is.
But just pass it.
And now,
I wish I'd never cut off my penis. I wish I had never done that.
Our feature presentation.
That guy rules. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeVincio. It is Friday. It is the 6th of February.
What's going on? How's everybody?
Good. You know,
hanging and banging.
So excited for the Super Bowl Sunday. Man, I got to tell you, what? The 2 weeks in between the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl is so – it just feels like it takes forever. And, of course,
Patriots already won.
When the Seahawks are in it, you know, you just
get
so excited. And I just –
sort of gave it away rather than lost.
Can't wait for it Sunday, man. I just
sort of just
threw
it to the other team for no reason.
We're so going to beat those Patriots. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll probably get down the last last minute or so like they do. But I think we're going to pull that out at the end.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll's a great coach.
Yeah.
Makes excellent decisions.
Sure does.
So I feel like we're not going to have any problem there if it ends up being like a goal yards, goal line stand or something like that with 20 seconds left. I think we're going to be good. So I just can't wait.
All right.
So good.
Good luck with that.
Let us know how it goes.
Hey, here's a story out of, what's the town in Missouri called? I don't think I've been there yet. I think it's called Troy, Missouri, I want to say.
Doesn't matter?
It matters to me, man.
Okay.
Keep things straight. Troy, Missouri is about an hour northwest of St. Louis. A very scary and dangerous story involving a 6-year-old boy there. He was lured Monday into a pickup after getting off the school bus. He was tied up. He was threatened with a gun. He was taken to a basement where his pants were removed. He was told he would be sold into sex slavery. At some point after a couple of hours, he was led upstairs in the house where he was being held to find his mother, his grandmother, his aunt, and a coworker of the aunt who had kidnapped the boy.
What?
To teach him a lesson about being too nice to people that he didn't know. He was apparently, and they don't give enough details in the story like usual, but apparently he was too nice to strangers. He was too gullible. He would go wherever people asked him to go, and they were trying to teach him a lesson about not getting in the car with a stranger. So they decided to kidnap him.
Wow.
So now he won't get in a car with his family because they're the dangerous ones.
The boy was told in the truck by the aunt's coworker, Nathan Fired, that he would never see his mommy again and that he would be nailed to the wall of a shed. He started to cry. The 23-year-old man showed the child a gun and said he would be harmed if he didn't stop crying. The man used plastic bags to tie the child's hand and feet. He took his jacket and covered the boy's head where he couldn't see. The basement that he took him into was at his own house, but he was blindfolded, so he didn't know that. And the family lectured him about stranger danger when he got upstairs. Well, in case you're wondering how that went over when the boy told somebody about it, he told someone at school who told administrators he was taken into protective custody and everyone involved with the kidnapping was arrested. The boy's 25-year-old mother, Elizabeth Hupp, charged with felony kidnapping, felony abuse, neglect of a child. Also, the 58-year-old grandmother, the aunt, and the aunt's friend all have been arrested as well, charged with kidnapping and felonious restraint. So that may be taking it too far to teach your child a lesson?
Yeah, I would think way too far.
Yeah. I mean, that could traumatize you for life.
It does seem like it could. I mean, do you think – they may be boneheads, but do you think that their intentions were good?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, but I think at that point it doesn't really matter.
So how do you, I mean, would you give them this, would you consider that when you're sentencing them on kidnapping and felonious restraint and everything, all the other charges
yeah,
that
I mean,
threw them?
I wouldn't put them in jail, probably.
I would consider the fact that the kid wasn't actually in danger.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought he was.
Yeah.
But
a lot of community service, though.
He's in a protective custody right now, and I wish the article told me whether he has been separated from his family or not. Because...
I would guess if it just says he's in protective custody, I would guess it's not his family.
But does that mean they took him away from his family as a result of this? Does that mean now the six-year-old is away from everybody that he knows?
And you know, there's a lot of abuse in protective custody, by the way.
I don't think we can assume that here.
No.
But I'm just wondering how helpful it is for this six-year-old to now be away from his mom and his grandma.
His mom and his grandma are dicks.
Yeah.
So... All right, so if you're the judge now, Kevin, so he never gets to go back to his family?
I don't know.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that story and see what happens. Six-year-old boy kidnapped for being too nice to strangers. Bizarre one out of Missouri.
He's six.
He is
crazy.
Six.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
With go-go dancers.
I don't think we have go-go dancers, but we do have Beer Mug at the Grammys.
I can't wait. I can't believe that picture yesterday of Beer Mug interviewing Spike Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
I bet Beer Mug tried to tell Spike Lee how hood he was. I'm a gangster too, Spike Lee.
I feel like I'm black.
I love Compton. We heard Mug say that before. You and I are the same, dude.
We also have two songs.
Who else did he talk to? Do you know?
Amber Heard was the only other picture I saw.
Really?
I'm sorry, not Amber Heard. I'm sorry, Amber Smith.
Oh, the model. Okay.
Yes. And I only recognize that because in the Instagram that was sent out, she was labeled as Celebrity Rehab's Amber Smith.
I was like, oh, no.
Really? Like, that's the only thing that she's known for?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm not exactly sure everybody that he talked to, but just if it was Spike Lee alone, that would be good.
I'm very excited.
We have a couple of songwriters in the studio, Greg Alexander and Danielle Brisbois. They have written a song that's getting nominated for an Oscar.
It has been nominated for an Oscar, yes.
Yes. So we're going to talk to them about that. That's fascinating. We have listener Nick today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and do some therapeutic work today. We're going to try and help the boy stay alive till Monday.
What does Johnny Depp have that I don't have? She would have been so much better off with me.
He's got a crush on Amber Heard for real this time, and she got married, and he doesn't know what to do with himself. So I would say, as you were, because I don't think he has much stake there. We got the movie beat because it's Friday, and we've got LL Cool J. We're going to talk to him in about a half hour about the Grammys, which are Sunday night. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on in the showbiz world, man?
It's easy for you to say, man.
Wow. What happened?
This is the saddest day of the year.
Oh, no.
That's why.
Saddest day of the year.
Adam West is still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then it can't be that bad.
Saddest day of the year?
Yeah.
Like every year, February 6th?
Every
is the
year,
saddest?
February 6th. Hmm. It just hits me, man.
Is this an anniversary of something bad that happened?
Okay. It is. Back in 1998, in a traffic accident in the Dominican Republic, A genius was taken from us. Singer Falco. Falco died on this day back in 1998 in a traffic accident in the Dominican Republic. Falco.
Yeah.
He was your favorite.
Rock me, mother loving Amadeus. Rock me! I insist! You over there!
Yes!
You, the midget! Rock me! Hey, you in the hoodie! Hey, Belichick! Rock me! Hey!
It's gonna be a while.
Oh, never mind. There we go! I guess I should have given her some heads up, but.
She's more heads up than most.
Yeah. Everything is, yeah.
There we go. There we go. Oh. The only thing that soothes me on this day, each and every year, just take a little Amadeus bath.
So you just put that on your phone and just loop it day long, yes. In memory of Falco.
Yeah, he will be missed.
You remember his other great hit too?
Sure,
Der Commissar,
right? Don't turn around. Der Commissar's in town.
World hasn't been the same since we lost Falco.
Ain't that the truth? And now, to make things worse, we're going to lose Radio Shack.
What?
Radio Shack.
Yeah.
They're going belly up?
They're going belly up. They have not turned a profit since 2011.
Ouch. Look, so what was the last thing any of us bought at Radio Shack?
How dare you?
That wasn't a cable.
Where am I going to get my vacuum tubes now? For my hi-fi.
Yeah.
We're going to get my needles.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there in, I don't know, 10 years.
Where am I going to get my batteries? I was a member of the Radio Shack Battery Club.
Battery Club is awesome.
That's a thing?
You don't remember the Battery Club?
Absolutely.
How can you not remember the Battery Club, Kevin?
Because who cares? What?
Because you get free batteries after you buy 10. That's right. Why. Everybody's, it's an awesome deal.
Everybody used to get their batteries at the Battery Club.
Wow.
Yeah, they're going belly up.
See, the problem is they sell, I mean, I don't know if you've been in a store in a while, but they have computers, they have television, they have good stuff. But all of that stuff we now associate with buying somewhere else.
Yeah.
We just don't think of Radio Shack to go. It's kind of sad for them.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like it's also sort of a little cheaper stuff. Like the computers are sort of...
Yeah, it's not your high end, yeah. For sure. It's a discount place, but...
More discounted now.
Yeah. So they're going out of business. They're a legendary company. In a related story,
for almost 100 years.
I know. In a related story, a California woman claims a Radio Shack employee stole naked pictures off her cell phone when she brought it in to get it fixed. So maybe less of that, too, Radio Shack. Maybe that didn't help your situation. I'm just guessing. We'll have to wait and see. This is good news. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but it was announced. The coveted spot of the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition was announced. Hannah Davis. She will be the lovely cover model.
Good choice, by the way.
She is. She's a lovely girl, and she seems to be good at her job. Here's some fun facts about Hannah you may not know. She's probably best known until now as the girlfriend of retired baseball star Derek Jeter. She grew up on the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Really?
And was discovered as a model at the age of 14. Just thought you'd like to know.
Huh.
Yeah. And also, stop it. Also, Sports Illustrated's making a big deal about the fact that they're going to feature their first ever plus-sized model. Robin Lawley is her name. And she's a size 12, and they call her a plus-sized model. If you look at Robin Lawley, she would be the hottest girl on most beaches, wherever you are. But because she's in the modeling game, she's considered a freak. And so they're making a big deal by the fact that they're putting her in a bathing suit and putting her in the magazine.
And a size 12, I think, is a little bit less than the average American woman, right?
Well below the American average.
Yet she's plus size.
Yes, but still, we get a chance to point her and go, fat! Even though she's not really.
That's pretty good fat right there.
She's beautiful. Today's celebrity birthdays. Excuse me.
Maybe Ralph's last day.
Yeah, maybe.
On Earth.
On Earth. Dane DeHaan, the actor from The Amazing Spider-Man and Chronicle, 29 years old today. Alice Eve, speaking of beautiful, she's 33 years old. Indeed. Axl Rose is 53. Tom Brokaw, legendary newsman who may be working for NBC again. He may be the new anchor. I believe there's going to be a slot open that may be over that network.
Hey, there are sources who say that he's calling for Brian Williams to be fired.
Ooh. I love Brian Williams to be fired. I think
They put him back on the news. It would be so much fun to try to interpret what he's saying every night.
It would be. And singer Rick Astley, the legendary Rick Astley.
Oh, what a day this is.
I wonder what's in his fridge.
Hey, he wasn't a fridge guy.
Oh, I wonder what's up with him.
Yeah, he was what's up with Rick Astley where we called him at home.
There was a segment on the Kevin and Bean show called What's Up with Rick Astley, where they would call him at home and see what's up with Rick Astley. Hall of Fame!
Turns out just this.
That's what he was up.
That's all.
Just get Rickrolled.
His answer, by the way, is that he's so ridiculously wealthy that he didn't have to do anything. That was his answer.
Yeah, but that was back in the 50s when you guys started. Who knows how much money he has left now. He is 49 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
Why do you make me sad by playing Blink-182 songs, man? It just brings up bad memories of the breakup. Come on.
Come on now.
Our next guest for 6 years has been making Chris O'Donnell look even whiter than he is on NCIS Los Angeles, Monday nights at 10, and he is once again the host of the Grammys. The 57th Annual Grammy Awards are going to be airing this Sunday night at 8. LL Cool J, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, LL Cool J, what's up, man?
What's up, yay, yay?
You know, now that Big Boy is off the radio, I think we may have to start having you on more often.
That's terrible, man.
That is terrible. Do a little what's up in the, who's in the neighborhood, little roll call.
That would be such a smart opportunity.
Exactly, right? Well, listen, we got a bunch of stuff we need to talk to you about, Ella. First of all, and I mean no disrespect with this question, but how do they keep asking you back to do the Grammys? And the reason I ask that is because all the other award shows, it seems like, are always trying to go out and get comedians and get movie stars and get people like that to host. Yet you got this thing locked up. What are you doing?
I'm not a comedian nor a movie star? No. You know what? Honestly, man, I couldn't tell you. I'm just really grateful that they asked me back. I don't, look, I'm not a comedian. I don't go out there and try to be funny. I just believe in, making a show about the performers, not about how many outfits can I change. Look, LL's in a cinnamon top. Now he's in a, you know what I mean? And now he's breaking out the aluminum foil cap. And, I just try to make it about the performers and about the fans at home and just have a good time and be myself. That's all I can bring. I can't, I'm not a comedian. I don't do that. I'm not delusional. I don't think I'm Billy Crystal or Ellen DeGeneres.
Right.
Or Whoopi Goldberg. I'm just being myself. So I'm just really honored and happy that they asked me back. And, I'm having a great time. I've been, really having a great time doing the show. I've learned a lot. Working with Ken Ehrlich and working with those guys has been a very humbling experience. And I love music. I love being close to music. I love everything about it. I love the culture of music. So, for me, it's just, an honor to be asked back, and I'm having a great time. And this year's lineup is just, it's crazy. Everybody from, you got, Rihanna and Kanye West with Sir Paul McCartney all the way to, you'll love you. AC/DC is rocking. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, there's no question the Grammys puts on the best music event of the night. I mean, they always say it's music's biggest night, and it really is, not just because of the gravity of winning an award like that, but, you guys do cram like 20 performances into the night. There's no question. So when you say you love the music, there's classical on that show, there's jazz on that show. Are you off stage like just rolling your eyes when someone like Dwight Yoakam is out there, or are you getting into that too?
No. Actually, no. Like, I'll give you an example. I had heard of the Beach Boys, from, I think it was last year, a couple of years ago. I'd heard the Beach Boys before, but seeing the Beach Boys, but to me, honestly, growing up in my generation, that was like a soda commercial.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So, good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was Fanta, I think, or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sunkist, right?
Sunkist, that's right, yeah.
When I saw the Beach Boys live, and I saw them up there performing, like, I loved the music. Like, what you find is that, music is one thing because it has all kind of different messages and it translates one way culturally when you listen to it on the radio, when you even when you watch it in a video. But when you see music live and hear music live, it's amazing. Like, some of the country music could be some of the most amazing music live.
Some of the different
live music is just a different, it's a completely different animal. I watched Juanes rehearse yesterday. I wasn't aware of Juanes.
He's good.
I heard, he's having a good year, but I wasn't really familiar. Unbelievable. You know what I mean? So it's really about just seeing it live. When you see it live, music in love with music all over again. So to be a part of that show and to be a fly on the wall and to see, go from Madonna rehearsing to Juanes rehearsing to Sia rehearsing, you know, to seeing what Pharrell's doing, to going to Usher, to, you know, it just, you feel, you know, you just really fall in love with the music. So when I say music coach, I'm like, I really, really, truly enjoy and love the music.
You got Beck and Chris Martin. You got Mary J. Blige and Sam Smith, a bunch of different performances. Is it sort of just a cacophony of things moving and people getting off stage and they say, Ella, we need you to stall for 40 seconds because we're not ready yet? Seems like that could be a nightmare.
There are always last minute changes. There's, you know, all of the bass guitar isn't working. We need you to go to the stage right. You know,
right.
Watch out. You know, without naming names, certain. He had a glass of scotch. He needs to stagger his performance.
Oh, that's all we're going to be thinking about now. Is who you're talking about?
They need to go fifth instead of third. You know, it's like things happen that are just. It's unbelievable. I mean, actually, it could be, you know, an unbelievable, you know, show like what my man Dave Grohl did Sonic Highway. Like, it would be unbelievable if you could see the stuff that goes on behind building the Grammys. Like, I think you would be blown away.
I bet.
And that's why I got to take my hat off to Ken Ehrlich. I mean, you know, he does an unbelievable job. You know?
All right, we're almost out of time. LL Cool J on the line. We're talking about the 57th Annual Grammy Awards that aired this Sunday night at 8. LL, why do you lick your lips so much on TV when you're hosting a show? What's that about? Do you need some? What do we need to send you?
Why do you notice that?
Why do you notice that, B?
Everybody notices that.
Why are you noticing that?
I know you're not on Twitter, but people are suggesting all the time that LL stands for licking lips.
I think a girl just sent you that question or something.
maybe Bean's watching your lips.
I think somebody said that. Like flex.
All right, so what's your answer? What do we need to send you to make you more comfortable behind the camera?
You said what?
I said, what's your answer, though?
You know what? I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Just right. Don't look at his lips so much, Bean.
Why do we dig up our nose when we're driving in public in the car when we know people can see us in the windows, but we feel like we're private? I don't know.
All right. I will accept the answer, sir. We always appreciate having you on the show. It does look like an amazing lineup this Sunday night on CBS. Have a great time, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
And I'm gonna lick my lips a minimum of 2,000 times.
Yeah, a little more. I appreciate that, LL. Talk to you later, man.
All right, 2,000 once flavored. Okay, guys, much love, and I appreciate you, all right?
Thank you, bye. This Friday morning, that means it's time for the Movie Beaters, Ralph.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Lots of movies coming out this weekend.
Love it.
I didn't say they were good.
Oh.
I said there were lots of them.
Okay.
Some of them you may almost be able to watch. Doesn't look good. I'm just saying.
That is what I look for in a movie is just, can I get through it?
This is your weekend.
Right. Hey, Kevin's the guy that went to see The Loft last weekend, so he's open for all comers here.
How dare you?
That was a good movie. I like that.
Burn. Let's talk about Three Nights in the Desert. This is about three estranged friends and former bandmates who celebrate turning 30 by spending some evenings in the desert, bringing their intertwined romantic baggage and the rest of their emotional stuff with them. And it ends up being a hilarious look at their young lives. Anyone? Wes Bentley stars. Amber Tamblyn's in it.
Those are both good actors.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at some clips from the trailer of Three Nights in the Desert.
We all went our separate ways. But I promised Travis we'd spend our 30th birthdays together.
At least one of us made it right.
All of us, we're here right now. The band's together. This is the band.
No, there's no band.
You need to do something good, man. Something real. What do?
You know what? You think you're a genius? You're just talented.
Her whole album is about you.
I know that.
You both said it was a mistake.
Do you know what your problem is, Anna? You don't want what's good for you.
Oh, yeah. Anna! No.
Yeah.
Since when do 30-year-olds get so nostalgic? Oh, it's our 30th birthday. Let's get back. Let's get together and look back on all that our life was. All we used to have before we turned 30.
Remember that's 2 years ago? That's a really good point, Ralph. It's like when you go to your 10-year high school reunion and you go, I just saw you.
Yeah, right. Also, opening up this weekend, The Seventh Son. Yeah. Thomas is a guy, he's the seventh son of a seventh son. That means he's got powers. And Jeff Bridges teaches him how to fight dragons. Julianne Moore's a dragon! Well, is this thing on?
It is.
Yeah, this movie was made, I think, in the 80s. And they're just getting around to releasing it now. Seriously, it's like 3 or 4 years old.
Really?
Yeah. No. Here's a scene where Julianne Moore escapes from Jeff Bridges by turning into a dragon.
Did you miss me? You have, haven't you? Don't try to deny it. I can see into your soul.
No! Shoot! I'm coming for you, Falcon!
I don't, you. What's...
It's Jeff Bridges with a sword, man. That's okay. All you need to know.
All right.
SpongeBob movie for the kids.
There you go. There
Sponge
you go.
Out of water. SpongeBob and the crew come up to our world. They land on the beach, and they interact with us. And it's in 3D and some stuff. What do you say? Anyone? Come on. It takes them to our world.
SpongeBob are we down comes on to our SpongeBob world. All of a sudden? I thought we liked SpongeBob.
SpongeBob's fine.
Yeah, SpongeBob's fine.
It's a cartoon for kids, Bean.
Okay.
Yeah, just saying. First of all, you're not going to see this. Why even defend
no,
it?
No, I'm not, but I'm just
guy
I'm
who
surprised.
Hates animated films.
I was just surprised to hear you guys down on it because I thought SpongeBob was considered a pretty good TV show.
Yeah, it is.
SpongeBob's fine.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of my more favorite kids' TV shows.
Yes. It's not getting me into a theater, though.
Okay. All right.
It's not that kind fair of enough. Love. Here's SpongeBob and his crew as they land on the beach into our world.
What is this place?
I have a bad feeling about this. Maybe this guy knows where we are. He looks smart. He's got 5 heads.
Sir, could you tell us where to find a Krabby Patty?
Hey, my friend's talking to you.
What? A giant hairy porpoise! It's beached. It's suffering. Poor thing.
It's just a guy sleeping on the beach.
Hmm. Would you? Okay. Is that the best clip from the movie?
Probably not.
Possibly not.
And lastly, Jupiter Ascending is opening up this weekend. Channing Tatum and his pointy ears, and Mila Kunis and Eddie Redmayne. It's about a. I'm not quite sure what it's about. She's a young girl who ends up being the remnants of a society that. From another, they're not from this planet, but they're from another planet, and there's a genetically engineered warrior,
right.
Channing Tatum, who is going to help her stop Eddie Redmayne as a bad guy from taking over bad things, that the things that he wants to do are bad.
And Channing Tatum is dancing for women?
No, that's a different movie.
Oh.
Here's Jupiter Ascending. Mila Kunis tells Channing Tatum that she's falling for him.
Stinger said that you attacked an entitled once.
I said it was in my genes. Defect of my genome engineering.
Could explain a lot of things about me. Like the fact that I have an uncanny ability to fall for men that don't fall for me.
You are royalty now. I'm a splice. You don't understand what that means, but I have more in common with a dog than I have with you.
I love dogs. I've always loved dogs.
She loves dogs.
She may have missed the point. Is anybody better than her, though?
Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
Nobody's better than her.
She's
nobody.
Stunning and adorable.
Ralph,
and just,
is this the Wachowski brothers?
It is. Well, the Wachowski siblings.
Sorry, yeah. Who made The Matrix and other films. So
it is indeed.
Maybe it'll look pretty.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful looking film and a great cast. So Jupiter Ascending also out this weekend. Those are your picks. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 7.
Songwriters Greg Alexander and Danielle Brisbois are going to be joining us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. They were in a band called The New Radicals. And when Dave told us we could get them, Kevin said, I love The New Radicals.
We all went,
more shocked by anything, Ralph?
Who are you and what have you done with Kevin?
Kevin loves something that's old, but they have a fascinating story. They broke up The New Radicals after one album, but have been very successful songwriters ever since, and now they're nominated for an Academy Award. That's going to be a fun talk. That's coming up later on this morning. Beer Mug at the Grammy Roundtable as well. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday.
Before I get to the beat, I want to remind folks, Tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I take the stage for Hollywood Babylon. Okay. We would love to have you join us 10 p.m. tonight on Melrose at the Improv. You can go to improv.com to get more details and tickets. Kevin Smith and I, cracking wise under the influence of various substances.
No!
I'm going to be juiced up tonight.
It sounds racist.
It's not racist at all. Lisa's people are at it again. Nice work, Lisa's people.
Tell what?
I just feel bad for the police in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, who had to respond to a call, 911 call to McDonald's, because there was a kangaroo loose in the building.
Oh my God.
Kangaroo turned out to belong to Larry and Diana Moyer. They claim Jimmy, their kangaroo, is a therapy animal.
Come on.
That helps with Diana's cancer treatments.
A therapy
animal. The couple
animal.
Has a car seat and a stroller for the little kangaroo and says he should be allowed to be with them wherever they go. The 8-month-old kangaroo has visited the McDonald's with them on several occasions, they say. This is the first time anyone's ever complained. Lisa.
I don't think people should have wild animals. Like, that's terrible.
Oh, but it's a therapy animal.
I don't care.
It helps me. It makes me feel better.
It's only 8 months old. It's going to get bigger and stronger. Yeah. That's dangerous.
It's going to start going to that McDonald's demanding fries and stuff.
Yeah.
Roughing people up. Apparently, kangaroos are not protected by Wisconsin disability laws, so their claim did not hold up.
Let me ask you guys this question. Do you believe that people can and should have dogs as therapy animals?
I do. Yeah.
I'd say there's no harm in it, but I don't know that they need to go everywhere with people.
This woman's cancer patient.
Oh, fine.
What is the dog or kangaroo in this case doing to help her cancer treatment?
No, but they do get, they give you a lot of comfort.
Then go home and get comforted by your dog.
Yeah, that's
you don't
what I'm
need
saying.
To be comforted
no,
in the
it
McDonald's.
You don't need to go to the McDonald's.
You don't need to have your dog comfort you in McDonald's.
I agree.
Get your Big Mac and get the F out of the restaurant and go home and be comforted.
So an airplane is one thing because you're going someplace with your animal, and that way you have the comfort animal on the other side.
Right.
But McDonald's, you can leave the dog or the kangaroo at home for now.
I would certainly
I think so.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Excuse me. Damon Wayans is leaving New Girl again. That makes me sad.
This is Coach?
Coach.
Why is he going?
Well, he was originally in the pilot. If you may remember the very first New Girl episode, he was in it.
Right.
And then he left to go do a show called Happy Endings. He took a deal with that show.
Right.
And that's when they brought in Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Happy Endings went off the air, so they brought back Coach as a guest star, and then he became a regular, and now he's leaving again to go do another TV show.
Okay.
So, well, the show just isn't good enough for him.
Apparently not, no. But the producers say they are leaving the door open for him to return to the series if he wants to come back and visit from time to time. So probably not the last we've seen of Coach, but still, I'm going to miss him. He was good.
Yeah.
That show's still good.
It is still very funny. This is good news. You can add to the list of performers for the 87th Oscars that happened on February the 22nd, hosted by Neil Patrick Harris, of course. Jack Black will be performing that evening.
Really?
Yeah, producers tell Deadline.com that he will be performing a very special sequence, but they did not elaborate any further. It's going to be
a very special
singing
sequence.
And dancing, however. It's going to be a little number he's going to do for us, so...
Maybe like...
I hope it's the In Memoriam. He sings all the dead people's names. That'd be great. Robin Williams is dead.
I'm not sure we're ready for that.
Come on, that'd be awesome. Lighten it up a little bit. It's always such a bummer.
Well, that segment certainly is.
Yeah. And speaking of bummers.
What?
I don't know if I can get through today's show or not. February,
oh, no.
February 6th shows are always hard.
February 6th.
Yeah. You remember February 6th. Back in 1998. Down there in the Dominican Republic?
I don't.
That traffic accident that took from us Falco. No!
No!
Falco passed away on this day in 1998.
Your world's been a little emptier since then.
It's been a hell of a lot more emptier.
Yeah.
Or did he really die, or is he just faking his own death? Is he hiding in seclusion?
Someone saying that?
Working on a... No, I'm saying it.
You are.
I'm hoping it. I'm allowing myself to believe.
Okay. Then he comes back, triumphant return.
That's right.
Guess what? Not dead.
He's just been working on an amazing album all these years. Today's celebrity birthday is Dane DeHaan from The Amazing Spider-Man and Chronicle. He is 29 years old today. Actress Alice Eve, you remember her from Star Trek, 33 years old. Rick Astley's 49. Axl Rose is 53. And former TV news legend Tom Brokaw celebrates his 75th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, yesterday our friends in the band Incubus stopped by to world premiere their brand new song called Absolution Calling. It's great to see those guys again. I love that new song too, by the way.
That's great.
If you missed the interview, you can see the video of it up at krock.com, and you should definitely check that out because, as we all know, Brandon is dreamy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm guessing there are a lot of people that are like myself, and that is you either take money to do something ridiculous or pay money to do something ridiculous. That's good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For everybody.
Sure. For everyone.
Right? Not for this girl, though. This girl is on The Challenge, which is an MTV show, Battle
this
of the
X. This is a spinoff of Road Rules and Real World, as I understand it. I don't watch this show either, but they have contestants from both of those previous MTV shows, plus new contestants, and they do challenges. That's what they do. I'm never going to watch this show as a result of this clip that went from. In fact, I still haven't seen this clip. Just hearing what happens in this clip turns my stomach so much, I don't think I can watch
it. I'll watch it, you baby.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Didn't it gross you out?
Yes.
Then what's the... Why?
So what?
Lisa, would you click on a link that says, girl drinks sweat for 70 bucks?
No.
Come on. What's wrong with you people?
No.
Why? That's so gross.
Well, it's gross, but
it's so gross.
It's not going to kill you.
Right. It's not going to kill you, but I don't need it in my life. I don't need that image of that in my life. And I have a feeling we're going to hear a clip of it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. This is it. And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
I lost my wallet at the bar the night before, so I have no money right now.
Zach says, Naya, would you ever drink my sweat?
All right. Now, here's my question. How does that come up?
Yes. How do you even think of that?
Why would the first guy ever say that? Well, she's dumb enough to agree.
And she's like, if the price is right, I'll drink anything.
Need a little cup.
The girl is going to drink a cup of sweat.
I need the $70, though. I am a girl who just doesn't like to back down from bets, but
okay,
once
stop
I
right
see
there.
This...
Stop right there. Do we have to go on? Do we have to hear more of this? What kinds of calls are we looking for, Kevin?
The worst thing you ever did for the least amount of money. I think that's the perfect call. Like you did something horrific and you made $5 for it.
Oh, man.
But
can I continue?
That's the perfect – yes, in a minute. That's the perfect call. But I think we also need you just to open it up to – because I am fascinated with the things that people will do on a dare for money. I really am.
Do you remember the K-Rock Christmas party where
I gave
John, guy that worked with us at the time – I forget. It was like $60 or $50 or something like that. And he grabbed our general manager's junk while at the Christmas party while the general manager was giving the speech to everybody. He just walked up and grabbed him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right? So it could be a lot of fun.
Sure.
So
that was good.
You're looking for people who they're, they're at Denny's after last call, and somebody says, if you drink that bottle of Worcester sauce,
yeah,
I'll give you $20. That's the kinds of calls you're looking
for. Mixed with this ketchup.
Yeah. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for the grossest thing that you did for a bet, preferably for the least amount of money. Give us a call. All right. So the girl in the clip here, she says, I'm one who just doesn't back away from a bet. If somebody challenges me to do it, I'm going to do it.
Right. So the guy's been working out for a long time and he takes his shirt off and he wrings it out into a cup.
Once I see this dirty, nasty brown water in this cup.
Like a nice, golden, boggy pond water.
That's
please
too
stop
much.
Down the hatch.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
No. What are you doing?
You poor angel. Poor girl. You're an idiot.
Yes.
Look, I get that $70 is a lot of money to a lot of people. I get that
she had no money, Bean.
Right. I get that that's your night out. That's your way home. That's a lot of things. I get that you need $70. But drinking another person's bucket of sweat that he wrings out of the clothes he's been working out on, how do you reconcile that in your head?
just open the hatch.
I guess the one way to look at it is this is going to be awful,
right?
But it's also only going to last 15 seconds, and then I brush my teeth or have a drink or something like that, and then it's over with, and I've got $70. I guess that's how you do. That's sure. how you have to address it, right?
Sure.
But you're a guy who throws around a lot of money at people.
You don't have to. That's the beautiful thing. Like, we went to a wedding, and I was paying, I think it was money, I paid $40, and I told him the bride was dancing with the father,
mm-hmm.
and they were the only ones on the dance floor, and I said, go out there and tap on the dad's shoulder and say, may I cut in, and then dance with the dad.
You mean like for the father-daughter dance?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Can I cut in and then dance with the dad? $40!
Did he do it?
Best $40 ever!
My point was, are you the type of person who will do some of these things
yes.
for the money, or are you only the type of person who will pay other people to
No,
it?
It's, I don't know, I find it fun.
Have you done something that somebody's challenged you to do for money?
Not this bad.
Kevin nobody. Is the challenger, generally
I think
speaking.
Kevin is more the challenger.
More, yeah.
I really
so.
Do.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would ever drink somebody's sweat. Well, it depends on who it is. This guy? No, I would not. But anyway, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls of the worst thing you did for money.
Let's go to Taylor. Let's do one before the break, at least. Taylor is in Agoura Hills. He's on line two. He's going to get us started here. Taylor, please tell me whatever it is, it's not as gross as drinking somebody's sweat.
This is worse.
I don't want to hear
this.
This
is worse.
Go ahead.
It might be worse.
It's worse.
So it was at, like, lunch in high school. All of my buddies, we hawked loogies into this Gatorade bottle, like the biggest, nastiest loogies that we could.
All right, now wait. Was there Gatorade in it, or was it empty?
No Gatorade. It was empty.
All right.
Totally filled it up.
Even worse. Okay.
And then my buddy drank it for $5.
Oh, you've got to be
see,
kidding
for
me.
$5. Now, see, whoever spent that $5, that's a bargain.
They got their money's worth.
Right?
I mean, why?
Has anybody ever spent $5 better?
No.
Why do you think your friend did it, Taylor?
I have no idea. I think you, I don't know. I can't.
I mean, do you get some sort of street cred with your friends if you're the guy who will do anything? Does that, like, make you cool
or
something?
No, absolutely not. I think it ruined his high school, like, reputation.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I also imagine that if he did that. I also imagine if he did that for $5, he would have done it for free. You know what I mean? Like, $5. Well, how is that? How does that help?
All right, Taylor, how much would they have had to have offered you to drink that bottle full of loogies?
Well over $1 million.
So for $999,000, you wouldn't have done it?
No. No.
All right. Good times.
Good times indeed. Appreciate the call, sir. Thanks so much. 1-800-520-1067. The grossest thing you ever did for the least amount of money. We're taking your calls next on K-Rock.
Good morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Right?
Good morning.
Right?
Seriously. Fabulous.
Yep.
This is outstanding.
This
wonderful.
Is the worst
terrific.
Thing that's
right.
ever
good
been on the Kevin and Bean
yeah.
show.
Bean and I would like to be excused.
Yes. We'd like to leave
the
room,
the
please. Super Ken writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. I'm not sure I can listen to this segment. I almost threw up in my mouth on the first caller. Jeffner writes, oh, my God, it's not even 8 a.m. I already want to puke. We're talking about the grossest thing you ever did for the least amount of money for a bet. One of our listeners reminded me, Kevin, does this sound right to you? Laura writes in, didn't Psycho Mike eat a bloody Band-Aid that he found
no.
on Hollywood Boulevard on a bet from friends?
That
I think he did.
Right.
Yeah. It, by the way, any question about Psycho Mike, the worst possible, he did it.
Yeah.
It's a given.
All right. Let's just burn through these as fast as possible because I hate this so much. Let's start with John. He's in Whittier. He's on line five to get us going.
So
I hate this. This is the worst segment we've ever done. John, God damn you for calling.
What happened, John?
All right, so I was about 19 years old, summer party. Haven't cleaned up in a few days. Decided to clean up, and with my buddies, found about a half can of three-day-old beer. So keep in mind, mid of July, August there. So it's about 110.
Sure.
And poured it into a cup, and then my buddy decided, hey, let's add to the mixture. Through a cup of what was supposed of a mixed drink. I don't know what it was anyways, but it was brown, had cigarettes in there, cigarette ash, and a couple other floaties that we do not know to this day what they were.
Good. I like
so
that.
I drank it for about 20 bucks.
Now, if you're the guy on the receiving end and you have to drink that, why don't you ask for more than $20?
Because that $20 is used for another case of beer.
Well,
because that's all he needed for a case of beer.
That's tough to argue.
John, you're proud of that day?
No, not at all. I was not happy for the next couple hours.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Orange, please. Line 2. Our man Justin is on the line. You think that one was bad. Wait till you hear this one.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. What's up, Lisa May?
Hi.
Your buddy drank what?
So we had a buddy try to eat a milk challenge for $100. He couldn't do it. Of course, he starts throwing up like this cottage.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You said that a little bit too fast. You guys were doing the milk challenge. That's where you try to drink a gallon of milk, right?
Yeah, a gallon of milk as fast as you can. So we were going to give him $100 if he could do it because we know he couldn't do it.
Right.
So he throws up in the ice chest. It's like this cottage cheese water.
All right. Look,
we all know what time it is.
We don't need.
All right. Where does this story go after the milk challenge guy vomits?
After that, he offers my buddy $100 if he will drink some of his throw-up.
No. And your buddy said, I wouldn't do that for $1,000.
He said, $100? Hell yeah, I'd do it.
No.
So we lift up the ice chest. You know how it has the little spout at the end to, like, drink, let water drain out?
Yeah.
We open it up. He takes a huge swig of it. Yeah. I don't know how he held it down. I started throwing up from watching him.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I hate this.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Justin, goddamn you for calling.
By the way, we have enough calls to go for 3 hours. We're not gonna.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time.
We're not gonna.
We don't have time for husband put tongue on dog's testicles. We don't have time for that.
How do we not have time for that? What does a guy have to do to get on the air?
Let's go to Hugo and Dowdy. He's on line 6, please.
All right. Hey, Hugo.
Hey, how's it going, buddy? Hi.
How are you? How are you enjoying this segment, Hugo?
Oh my goodness, this is amazing.
This is the
laughing as I'm driving to work.
This is the hey everybody, stop listening to our radio show segment.
It certainly is. All right, what do you got, my friend?
All right, so of course we all have that one friend that we pay money and he'll do anything for anything. So
we
had leftover sauce from the Wingstop Atomic Wing.
Okay, so hot sauce.
Yeah, and I basically told him I paid you $20 to keep it on your genitals for about 5 minutes. He lasted 3 to about 4 minutes and dove right into the pool because he couldn't handle it.
So you didn't have to pay him?
Oh yeah. Well, we felt bad for him because this guy does money for anything.
Sure.
He also snorted pixie dust?
Sure.
But yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Hot sauce in the genitals, everybody. Good morning, indeed.
He tried it, but only made 3 minutes.
Thank you for the call. Christy writes in, Kevin and Bean, I have a buddy that drank a cup of tobacco chew spit.
Oh, no.
For $20, the grossest
Who's hungry?
I've ever witnessed.
Nope.
Okay, but we're done, right?
I'd like to be.
Let's do it.
It's up to us, right?
Yes.
We're done. I'm not sure how long it's been since we actually turned on ourselves.
It's been a while, that happened. But dude, that was worth it.
We owe a lot of people an apology for the last 20 minutes on K-Rock. A lot of great reactions to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. By the way, I'm not even going to recap what the phone topic was. If you missed it and you're just turning on the radio, you're so lucky. You're so lucky.
Yes.
Jeannie writes in, just stop. Eric writes in, kill me. But my favorite is Danny, who said, I once listened to this bit on Kevin and Bean for $0. So that was the worst thing he ever did for the least amount of money. All right, so that's behind us, right?
That's
We've moved on.
Yes.
We're not going to do
Let's
that
move
anymore.
Forward.
Beer Mug has some great tape from the Grammy Roundtable yesterday where he interviews, among other people, the great Spike Lee. So that's going to be fun coming up. First, though, we got to take care of some business. One of our family members is hurting a little bit, Kevin. I thought of Nick, former sign holder Nick, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. I thought of him this week when I saw the word that Amber Heard, his crush, had married Johnny Depp. So I did what any friend would do, and I reached out to Nick, and I said, dude, you okay? And he wrote me back a very long and impassioned and 15,000-word email about how he's not okay with it. And I feel like Nick needs our help, so let's bring him onto the show.
Wait, he cut it down to 15,000 words?
He did. Hey, Nick, how's it going, man?
All right. I'm good. I'm fine.
I was legitimately worried about you because I know how you felt about Amber Heard. I know that she's your favorite and that you envision a future for the two of you together. And you must have just been devastated. Can you tell me how you first heard the news that she had married another man, that bitch?
That's a little harsh.
Yeah, take it easy. This is the woman he loves.
Yeah,
I just found out just on Facebook just the other day, you know?
I mean, this is not really surprising. This has kind of been going on for the past few years anyway.
Yeah, you knew they were together for a while, right?
Yeah.
And don't they have kids together also, Nick?
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't, okay.
All right.
So were you...
Take it easy.
Were you crushed? Were you happy for her? How did you compartmentalize Amber Heard getting married in your mind?
I want her to be happy. I do.
But you want you to be happy too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Nick, I don't mean this to be insulting because I feel like I have the same amount of chance as you do with Amber Heard. So we're in the same boat.
But I agree.
Chance is zero. So it shouldn't hurt that much.
Yeah, I just... Honestly, it's probably been going on for so long that it wasn't like, oh my God, what a shock, you know?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. I've just been happy with the fact that there's been no Playboy Club. And that the fact she did this movie role that I hated.
All right, Nick.
And
Nick, hold on.
Everything goes back to the Playboy Club.
The Playboy Club, Amber Heard was on, and it got canceled, and there were four unaired episodes. And Nick has been on a tear for years.
No one has ever been more committed to anything than Nick. That guy who cut off his arm in 127 hours wasn't as committed to survival as Nick is committed to getting these Playboy Club episodes out.
That's what's going to come down to then. I'd cut off my arm then.
Well, no, don't do that because they're not.
No, I'm not going to.
They're not
going to
air those,
and you'll probably never see them. But it's okay. You need to move on
not
from
really.
That dream.
You should move
not
on,
really.
But you need to eventually accept that. That's look. All of us have shows that we loved that went away.
What
all
are you showing you? You're crazy about.
Yes.
That's not true.
Shows that we love have been canceled that have only lasted a season. Sometimes it just happens, Nick. That's the way it works. Look, because TV isn't made for one person. It's made for the America. And if there aren't enough people watching, the show goes away
America.
No matter how good you think it is.
Well, thanks a lot, America.
Yeah, America.
I should have been happy with The Walking Dead zombies instead. Yeah, that's so much better, right?
It is, by the way.
All right, Nick, let's get back to Johnny Depp for a second. You can see why she chose him, though, right? He's a great-looking guy. He's a very accomplished actor.
A lot of other girls I know that I also like are always like talking about him as well.
Yeah,
right.
And he's taking her to his private island in the Bahamas now.
Don't tell me the details.
That's not a detail. What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying you have to look at that and go, well, you know what? In this case, she chose wisely. Maybe the better man won.
Right.
I mean, you have to look at it that way.
Nick, let me ask you for a moment of introspection. You can't possibly have really thought that perhaps you were in line at any point.
No, honestly, no.
All right, good.
I've always wanted to be a writer. I've always wanted to work with her. And I still do.
But you still can.
Really,
she's
really
still
do.
Acting.
Yeah, I know. It's still something. I mean, I'm not just going to give that up now, you know?
No, you shouldn't. Just because she's married doesn't mean you can't still work with her in the show business. That's fine. That dream is still alive,
right? Have you finished a single screenplay?
I'm in a screenplay class right now.
You're in a class?
I have a screenplay class right now, trying to get my professional stuff together.
Okay, now, have you finished a single script for anything? For TV, movie, half-hour?
What happened? Look,
sitcom.
I told you guys I had something in the works for a long time, and then just things kind of went bad. A lot of things kind of started going bad, and then just I had a change of heart about it, and then.
Well, you're awfully busy being unemployed most of the time, right?
No, actually, not true. I've been doing some some side work.
Side work.
Yeah, assistant work. Just it's not important, but I've been doing like. I've been, doing something to make some money on the side.
You've been staying busy. All right, let me ask you this, though, Nick, because, we hope that you get the screenplay together, and I hope it's great, and I hope Amber Heard stars. We wish nothing but the best for you. But I was a little surprised at something you did write in the email back to me, which is that you don't think it will last between Amber and Johnny Depp. You don't think they'll last. What do you mean by that, and what does that mean for you?
Hello?
Nick?
I think our phones just died.
Oh, what a shame. Because I'm sure Nick thinks he's got next. Even if he realistically didn't think he had a chance first time around, he's got to think he's got next, right?
Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
All
right. We got dropped for a second there. I was asking what you meant by saying you didn't think it was going to last between Amber and Johnny.
I think it'll last. I don't want to wish bad luck.
This equipment said, listen, I hate what Kevin and B did for the last half hour. This guy's voice is annoying me. F you.
By the way, while he's gone, isn't it insane how high his voice is?
It's just getting higher.
It's really high.
It just keeps getting higher.
We always do the joke where we're talking about Nick. We go, oh, hi, Kevin. But he really does sound like that now.
Hey, listen.
It's back.
If this thing lasts like 10 years, that's fine. That is.
All right, so you're willing to wait out a 10-year relationship with Johnny Depp. So
I have this. How about I just be a good friend to Amber and I write the best damn script I possibly could? And as you, I've been like writing a Bean the past year. I've been writing a something new, something very unique.
And is it finished?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Did you finish it?
I'm getting there.
All right, Nick, I don't mean to crush your dreams, but you're not going to be friends with Amber either.
Nor am I, nor is Bean.
I'm just saying,
no.
For reality's sake.
Can I say what I'm writing right now?
No, we actually don't have it. We're actually out of time, Nick. We wanted to make sure that you were okay because your crush got married, and I wanted to make sure you were handling that in a realistic fashion, and it sounds like you are. It sounds like you accept the fact that this is reality and that you guys aren't going to be together. But maybe if things go well, you'll work together professionally, and there's nothing wrong with that. I keep doing what you're doing, Nick.
Let's just put a to be continued on this. How about that?
To be continued it is, my friend.
I think he should give up.
No, he shouldn't give up.
I think he should give up. You know how everybody gets up in front and they go, never give up your dream. You know what? Some people should give up their dream.
All right.
Not me. Don't put me in that loser crowd.
All right. Exactly. Okay. All right, Nick. I'm glad you talked to us today. We had a lot of fun, man. Have a great weekend.
I'll try to.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Maybe that's why they could only make one album.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Not professionals.
Could be.
Not professionals. Maybe that's why.
Kevin, you're the only one of us who has been lucky enough to hear tape from Beer Mug's interviews at the Grammy Roundtable yesterday. What can you tell us about what we're going to be hearing coming up at the top of the hour?
It's just straight magic.
Yeah, he still got it?
Just straight magic.
My fear is always that Beer Mug has done enough interviews now that he might start getting good at them.
Yeah.
Really? That's your fear?
No danger of that?
I'd say you're safe on that.
I'm afraid a great white shark will attack me on land. It doesn't mean it's ever going to happen. That's my fear.
All right. Beer Mug's latest interview is coming up first. Though Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Before I beat you, how about tonight you come join me and Kevin Smith at the Improv on Melrose for a little Hollywood Babylon?
No.
We'll take on the topics of the day in a light, entertaining, drunken, and stoned fashion.
No.
I think you'll enjoy it. We'll also say goodbye to Nian Yub.
What? I'm sorry?
Nian Yub.
What?
Who's Nian Yub?
Oh, man, whatever. I got nothing to say
Rest
to you.
Rest in peace.
I got nothing to say to you.
Nian Yub.
He was Lando Calrissian's co-pilot in the Millennium Falcon.
And did he die?
Did he pass away?
The actor passed away.
Okay. And you're gonna feature that?
We are gonna do a tribute
tonight.
Yen Yub.
Okay then. Right. But you still want people to come out.
They'll come out to celebrate the life
of Yen Yub.
Of Yen Yub, sure.
Boy, a lot of death in your life today, Ralph.
I know.
It's a very sad day for you, man. I gotta give you a lot of credit for even just showing up.
And of course, Bean is referring to my annual mourning on this day, February 6th, each and every year. I do have to deal with my enormous grief over the passing of all of the Austrian musical superstars. I think this was my favorite.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to choose from.
Sure.
But when it comes down to it, all things being equal, I gotta pick Falco. He passed away on this date in 1998. Of course, probably best known for this classic. Amadeus.
Pop music star, Falco.
That's right. Goddamn right, Alex Trebek, you Canadian bastard. You don't even deserve to have his name in your mouth.
Take it easy, Ralph.
Freaking Trebek.
He killed him. Throw a mustache or don't. One or the other. Right. Choose.
Pick. think tonight is a tribute. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to sing Der Kommissar at Hollywood Babylon.
I would love to hear that.
Well,
actually.
Then, why don't you come on out?
That's
improv.com. Get your tickets. I love Ryan Reynolds when he's not acting. Does that make any sense?
Sure. You like him as a person.
I love him
as
a person. I love him as a person. I think even as an actor, he's probably fine. I've just never seen him in anything I ever liked. Maybe it's the casting. Maybe it's bad casting choices.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's been in a lot of films that I did not really enjoy so much. But I just love the guy. Seems like a great guy to hang out with. Case in point, he was on Letterman last night and talked about his marriage to the lovely Blake Lively.
Yes.
And he says how he used to tell his wife all the time that he would take a bullet for her without thinking. But now they have a newborn daughter, and he said their relationship has completely changed. He said he would have no problem using Blake Lively as a human shield to protect his daughter. That made me laugh out loud, because I know that feeling. Once you have a baby, everything changes.
That's funny.
Like, oh, now I need to protect this person.
Yeah, but you don't say that out loud.
Well, he does. That's why I think he's funny. Seems like a nice guy. Everyone's wondering where Kris Jenner's been.
Hey, where's Kris Jenner been?
See, people like Bean have wondered.
I've not heard a word of that.
Well, she's been out of the public eye, reportedly recovering from a bad flu. It took her 3 weeks to recover from. Or plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story came out that she was so distraught after Bruce Jenner announced he was going to transition into a woman that she needed a pick-me-up. And so she decided to go have a facelift. Like you do.
Okay.
If you wrote the family of the Kardashians.
Yeah, you go.
If it was a fictionalized family, you'd say, this is the cheesiest, worst soap opera I've ever read.
Go back and make it more believable.
Go back and rewrite this. We're not going to put this on television. What? The biggest earner in the family is a former porn star whore who's now married to a rapper, and she keeps showing her ass off in all these magazines. And then the stepfather, he's decided he's going to change into a woman. and the mother's addicted to plastic surgery, and she wants to be as desired as her much younger daughters, and she's competing with. Please, could you please write something a little bit more believable? Thank you.
It is pretty spectacular.
I'm sorry, it's the best I can write. Well, take it back and start working on the screenplay and make it a little bit more believable.
It's a soap opera for sure.
They are. If they didn't have money, they would be living in a trailer. They're just the white, trashiest people. Gotta love them. That's right. Today's celebrity birthday is Dane DeHaan. You know him from The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Chronicle. 29 years old today. Actress Alice Eve is 33. Axl Rose, 53 years old today. Hey, when's that Chinese Democracy coming out, huh, Axl Rose?
About 5 years ago came out. No one cared.
And he's sick.
And that's with...
Take that.
That's with filled up lungs. TV legend, anchor, newsman, Tom Brokaw, 75 years old today. And singer Rick Astley's 49. Rick Astley! Let's call Rick Astley and see what's the worst thing he ever did for the least amount of money. Let's make that a recurring
I'd like
segment.
To turn on...
Yeah, come on, Rick. Uh-huh.
Sing it if you know it.
No one knows it.
Why did Rick Rolling happen?
How did that get started?
One of those internet things. But why?
But who started it?
Why
That's
him? Why
question.
That song? Why did it take off?
I can't. I have
so
no answers.
Weird.
I have no answers.
I liked Rick Astley, by the way. I know you
take
say his
easy.
Name as a punchline, but he had a lot of good songs besides Never Gonna Give You Up.
Stop it. Just stop it.
But he had that one. And he
How
had...
dare you?
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
How dare you on Falco Day bring up Rick Astley?
Really? Are they bitter rivals? I wasn't aware.
Oh, yes. Oh, they hated each other.
Well, I would like to say that my man is still standing.
How
wow.
dare
that's where you're going to go.
I'm afraid it is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This might take a couple of days. Got to be honest. A
couple of days? Is
might
that
take a,
good?
Might take a couple of days. And he's going back today.
The Grammys air Sunday night on CBS, and every year leading up to the Grammys, they give the media, that's us, an opportunity to go down to Grammy headquarters and interview people who are associated with the show or aren't, who just happen to be there to try to promote something. And Beer Mug is the guy that we choose to send down to do those interviews. And you're about to see why.
Because he knows what he's doing. He's a professional interviewer.
Professional, baby.
He's like Mug's had a good time yesterday.
Our Murrow of his generation.
He is. That's true. Yeah. I had a great time being a... Most of all, my favorite thing about the Grammy roundtables is the free food that they give you. I mean, it is a buffet.
Not that you talk to Spike Lee.
No.
But they have a buffet that's free.
That's a highlight as well, but yeah.
So tell me about Project Almanac.
Project Almanac.
Quickly.
I interviewed one of the actresses in that, Michelle DeFrades. She plays the mean girl in that. And Project Almanac is these kids who find a blueprint of a time machine, and they build it and go back to they go into the past.
Now, this is the movie that Ralph told us about that just opened up last weekend.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, what I love about Muggs is that he doesn't let the guests talk very much.
He's got so much to offer.
He feels like this is his time to speak.
It is the Mug Show.
From what I've learned from the movie Back to the Future... That could be...
One of the best movies.
One of the best movies. That could be very devastating to know too much about your own future.
That is true.
Because in that sense, by knowing about too much about your own future, you can screw up the present past. I was trying to explain myself not very well there.
But you were making a good point, though. I mean, that's a legitimate conversation to have in the discussion of time travel.
I was making a good point being up until the end.
Well, I think it's important for her to know what you think about Back to the Future, a movie that came out 30 years ago.
Well, she agreed with me. She also liked that movie.
She probably would like to talk about her project, yeah. I'm guessing.
All right.
Yeah, let me tell you what I like about myself and the movies that I've watched.
Did you ever see True Grit? I mean the original, not the remake with Jeff Bridges. I don't think you just start reviewing movies for her.
So
good use of her time.
An actual band sits down across from Muggs, and it's Fall Out Boy, and I don't know how you get to this question.
You guys sweat a lot.
We do. Well, I'm actually the only one in the band that doesn't really sweat. Patrick's like...
This is Pete.
Yeah.
We used to like... try to figure out whose guitar strap was whose, and his smells insane. Yeah.
Smells like a hockey player's...
Yeah, not good.
Not
all bad.
Good.
Yeah, like a hockey player's not good.
Wow. I saw them at Acoustic Christmas when they got off stage, and they were all drenched in sweat. They play hard. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
With
them. Hey, Muggs, we understand you guys all sweat.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got
That's a pretty good get for Muggs, though, to get an actual band we play here on K-Rock.
All right, now Amber Smith.
Yeah.
What is she best known for?
Being a supermodel. Johnny Depp, and nope, I really offend you, Sam.
That's ever heard.
Oh, that's ever heard. Being a supermodel in the 90s, I would say.
Yes.
And softcore porn.
Muggs sits down across from Amber Smith and cannot come up with the phrase one day at a time. And this is him trying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's addiction. How besides going, you know, the rehab path, I'm sure... Every day is a continuing process of,
boy,
of rehabilitation, right?
Oh, you should be a counselor. You should work in a rehab. I'm inspired. Can I hear that one more time?
Oh, sure.
That was
great.
I don't know what happened there.
Is she had a problem with alcohol? That's what we're referring to here.
No, pain pills.
She was on celebrity rehab.
Yeah. She was in recovery. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. It's addiction. How besides going, you know, the rehab path, I'm sure every day is a continuing process of,
boy,
of rehabilitation, right?
Mike, let me ask you a question.
Boy, I tell you, I don't know what you're saying.
Let me ask you a question because I have some experience with this. When you get lost in that circle of hell, do you realize that you're in the middle of it?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And there's no coming
out.
There's
no stopping.
Nope.
Mm.
I love when he starts with the lectures. Addiction. As if he's in the beginning, in front of the classroom.
Right. So now he's still sitting across from Amber Smith, and he continues to talk about himself.
I don't think I'm a codependent, but I definitely have forms of, I have an addictive personality, I think, when it comes to substances.
Right.
And Dr. Drew would shun me for that, I feel.
Yeah.
And I've learned to cope with it. I actually have anxiety disorder.
Yes,
bad.
Me too.
Bad. And, like, that's how I think I tend to turn to substances to kind of cope with that. But
is there... It sounds like you're eavesdropping on the world's worst date. That's what it sounds like when Beer Mug does an interview.
How dare
All right,
you, Ralph.
When you get lost, you realize it. When you've been talking for a half hour, do you realize that?
No, not at all, because I'm trying to connect with the guest that I'm talking to.
But connecting means that she's allowed to interact.
Yeah, she interacted a little bit.
I find that exercise, like natural things, like exercise works.
Right.
And, yeah.
Muggs, why do you think, serious question, why do you think Amber Smith is interested in your life?
Well, I was trying to, like I said, I was trying to relate and try to find some common ground with her. So, we, you know, to get the interview going.
I'm getting the interview going.
All right, Shepard. They're the guys that have Geronimo.
Oh, yeah, sure. Big hit.
Sit down across from Muggs, and this happens.
How'd you learn bass, Emma? Did you get, like, a manual on how to play bass? Like, because that's how, you know, Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols?
He doesn't give her a
unbelievable.
How did you learn bass?
Because.
Let me tell you a story about the Sex Pistols.
Yeah. He literally, one night, went into a hotel room, got a how to play bass manual, got drunk, and learned how to play bass. Really? Did you do that, too?
No.
Nope.
What do you think the odds are, dear mom? What do you think the odds are? Let me just give me a number that you think she also got a manual, went into a hotel, and got drunk, and that's how she learned how to play bass.
Probably about 5,000 to 1.
Well, it was worth a shot.
What did Sid Vicious think about Back to the Future? Do we know?
Or about being codependent.
Now, here's where Muggs takes it even a step further, because now Muggs isn't just talking about Muggs. He's talking about Muggs' friend Randy.
Now, how'd you guys write Geronimo? Because that song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song. He actually, because I hear it a lot working at the radio station, but when I'm, you know, hanging out on the weekend, that's all my buddy Randy plays is Geronimo.
What? Is that when he's putting on his Rogaine?
Is that the same guy?
It's when he's using his razors. No, yeah, I'm just trying to relate to the guest.
That's okay. Damn it, stop saying that. What? You know how you relate to a guest? You let them speak. That's what they really relate to. Someone who allows them to talk.
Let me ask a question, seriously. Then we have to take a break, and I know we got Spike Lee and other interviews we're going to hear from Beer Mug from the Grammy Roundtable, but I this is another serious question for me because I'm slack-jawed over this. Why is How Did You Write the Song not enough? Why do you have to include your friend Randy who likes the song? Like, what does that add to the question?
I want to make them feel good about the art that they put out there.
But why won't you let them talk about it?
That might make them feel good. Being able to talk might make them feel good.
They were talking.
No, they weren't. You went from how do you like that song to how much Randy loves it. They know more about Randy now than they know about their own songwriting process.
And certainly than we know about their songwriting process.
Well,
they never get to it.
He gets into the meaning of Geronimo with Shepard.
It's funny because normally Geronimo, well, he was an American Indian, right?
Yeah.
And it's normally related to when somebody is either jumping out of a plane, you yell Geronimo, or like in your song, Bombs Away, they yell Geronimo. Why do they yell Geronimo? It's funny because I think it was in the movie Naked Gun. Oh, no, maybe it was Hot Shots Part 2. It was either way. I think it was Hot Shots Part 2, where they're all jumping out of the plane, and all the guys, like, they're in the Air Force, and they're jumping out, and then this American Indian jumps out of the plane. They're all yelling Geronimo, and this American Indian jumps out. And he's like, myself! Or, send me! Stupid. That was a stupid aside. I'm sorry. I didn't bring that up.
Oh, my God.
Freaking believable.
Well, now I know a lot about how the song Geronimo was written.
I'm embarrassed.
Wow. Muggs sits across from Spike Lee. Next.
The host of the Grammys, LL Cool J, joins us in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. They are Sunday night on CBS. Right now,
fantastic.
Beer Mug is taking us through the interviews that he did down at the Grammy Roundtable. Where is this? Is this down by where the Grammys are being held?
Right.
Yep.
Is this thing on?
Yes, unfortunately.
Right at Staples Center.
All right, fantastic. So we just heard interviews with Fall Out Boy and with Geronimo, with Amber Smith.
Beer Mug talked all about his.
I don't think we talked to Geronimo. I think we
talked
to Shepard.
Geronimo. Where are we now? What are we up to?
We're at Spike Lee.
Spike Lee, legendary
movie director Spike Lee.
How much do you know about him, Muggs?
Well, I actually, surprisingly, a lot. I've seen a lot of his movies when I was growing up.
We'll get to that. I didn't think you were going to give me the answer that you gave him. But here's Muggs introducing Spike Lee.
With none other than legendary director, actor, writer, he's done it all, Mr. Spike Lee. How you doing, sir?
Good. You looked up Professor.
Oh, Professor. I'm sorry. Professor Spike Lee. He made me nervous right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell. Seems very cool.
By the way, I would be a little intimidated sitting across from Spike Lee in a situation where I wasn't.
Because he's black? Is that white bean?
Because he's very smart and very quick, and I would feel unprepared to interview him on the fly.
He's also a little bit dickish.
He certainly can be.
He was cool to me, but I was still nervous in his presence.
That's because you're black.
So I'm going to let you guys pick where Muggs went with the first question. What does Muggs say to Spike Lee to begin this interview after the intro?
What's good with the Knicks?
Bean? That's a great guess. I'm going to say, because we know Muggs wishes he lived in Compton, that he feels a kinship with all African Americans.
I grew up watching many of your movies.
Thank you very much.
The first movie I saw, actually, believe it or not, was Tales from the Hood.
Was exec produced.
And then I saw
a classic.
Yes, and then Malcolm X, and I saw Crooklyn, because my mom's from Brooklyn.
All right, now, Spike Lee makes the mistake of thinking that he's in a conversation with somebody that's normal, so Spike Lee asks Muggs about his mom, and then all hell breaks loose.
What neighborhood?
You know? She grew up whatever Little Odessa is right now. It's like the Russian section now, but like back in the she was born in 43.
Oh, it's Coney Island.
Yeah, near Coney Island.
Yeah, Brighton Beach.
And she's the reason I'm a Brighton Beach. Uh-huh. She's the reason I'm a Dodger fan.
All right,
and
Brooklyn Dodgers.
She went to Ebbets Field and all that. Yeah. He was interested in me, you guys.
Look, that's the best interview I've heard all morning.
So Spike far, interviewing him
once again, yeah. It's a conversation at least.
But isn't it still we're finding out much more about Muggs than we are about the guests?
Of course.
Oh, of course. That's always the case.
Because I'd be more interested in where Spike Lee grew up and what his life was like if I had this opportunity, I think.
Well, Spike asked him. I mean, it's not really his fault. He's just responding.
He didn't know. Like, he didn't know what was happening in front of him at that point.
Oh, he never does. You're giving way too much credit, Kevin.
I'm saying nobody knows when they sit down with Muggs, how much Muggs likes to talk about Muggs. So he's doing a movie called The Sweet Blood of Jesus, which is a remake, and Muggs asks him about that.
So you guys reinterpreted it. That's not even a word.
Contemporary version. Right.
Ganja and Hess.
Right.
You reinterpreted it.
Reinterpreted. That's it, right?
And then Muggs has a very good grasp on the info.
The film is about addiction. In particular, people addicted to blood.
Like drinking, like ingesting blood?
They needed to live.
Wow. Wow. So, like, that's how they get their nutrition?
Yes.
It's an African tribe?
No, this takes place in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, okay. So, tell me, like, how this story... Is this based on real life?
No.
You can hear him getting annoyed.
All the blood-drinking people. All the ones that we know, we hang out with, finally someone's telling their story. Beer mug? Well, they're called vampires.
Why did you guess Africa?
I thought I was the bio that I had.
Oh, right, you just
before
scanned
he sat
it or whatever?
I scanned it, and for some reason...
You saw Africa?
I saw African tribe, I thought.
You saw African-American, and you saw maybe...
No, no, no.
That's something to do with Africa?
No, no. I literally thought it was about an African tribe. But,
so you made that up now, looking back on it, though. That just is something you just invented.
I don't know. I actually have to look at the paper again. I don't know why I said that, but that's what I thought I saw in the paper.
It was about addiction, in particular, people who are addicted to blood.
Like drinking, like ingesting blood?
They needed to live.
Wow. Wow. So, like, that's how they get their nutrition?
Yes.
It's an African tribe?
No. This takes place in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, okay. So, tell me, like, how is this based on real life?
No.
No.
No, David. This is not real life.
Spike got up and walked away, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't like me too much after that.
He didn't like you from the beginning.
Is that the end of Spike?
Yeah, that's the end of Spike.
That was it?
Yeah.
How did I do?
Really
fantastic.
Well.
Are you really well?
Yeah, take you back.
Standing over.
Boy, we sure learned a lot more about Muggs than we did about Spike Lee, didn't we?
Yeah, we learned a lot more about Muggs than we did about Amber Smith as well.
Fallout Boy, everybody. Hey, speaking of the Grammys, again, Sunday night on CBS. All week long, we have been giving away tickets to the Grammy Museum at LA Live Party, which is tonight with Hozier. You can stream it live at tunein.com, by the way. But if you'd rather be there in person, then call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you tickets to see Hozier tonight. And also, you'll be in the grand prize drawing that we'll do Monday for K-Rock's World Tour 2015, which is Hozier, again, at Slane Castle in Ireland. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 this hour. On K Rock.
Hey, Mole is on the line. You want to talk?
Oh,
to
you're
Mole?
Kidding me! I love Mole. Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa May. Hey, Ralph the Knock. You know who it is?
It's Mole. We know it's Mole. How you doing, buddy?
Dope guy to join.
Right.
My friend.
Yep. Right. Getting close. It's Friday. That's right.
No, I was talking to my mom.
So. Oh.
What's going on?
Well, listen, you guys. I know you guys are very busy with Hoser and everything.
Right.
And I don't know your plans for Sunday, but I love it. I got the chips. I got an 11-pack of oat sodas. You guys want to come over for my Super Bowl party?
Weekend for your Super
Bowl? I know. You got a lot of invites, but it's going to be awesome. I'm there.
You're not talking about the Grammys. You mean the Grammys on Sunday night? You mean the Super Bowl, the football Super Bowl?
Exactly. That's the one. I knew you'd get it.
But that was last Sunday. The game already happened. It happened last Sunday in Arizona.
What? Where? Yeah. When? Why?
It was advertised pretty well. I mean, I think more people watched it than any other TV show in history.
Oh, what about my Packers? What happened?
Well, your Packers, they weren't in the game. It was the Seahawks versus the Patriots. They played on Sunday Bowl. How did you miss the Super Bowl? Like, you can't get away from the Super Bowl.
Poor Brett Favre.
He hasn't played in 5 years, Bowl.
I'm a Green Bowl Packer, you know what I mean?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Packer,
yeah, it's a wee joke. We get it.
Hey, I bet Bean's team did pretty great with that genius coach. He's got Peter Chris.
Well,
it's Pete Carroll.
It's not Peter Criss from Kiss. No, it's Pete Carroll. And he did great right up until the last 30 seconds of the game, and then he forgot how to coach.
That never matter.
What?
No, hey, the end part, no one watches that. Hey, how are the commercials? I heard it cost $2 million to eat 30 seconds worth of Doritos.
No, you got that wrong. It cost $4 million to buy 30 seconds of commercial time during the Super Bowl. And there were some pretty good ones, but there were also a lot of bummer commercials this year, Mo.
Oh, my God. What am I supposed to do with all my party stuff? I made my world-famous 70-layer dip again.
70-layer?
It's got beans, cheese, guacamole, kettle corn, red vine, salsa verde, Reese's Pieces, Tylenol PM, peppermint schnapps, Jack Carter, Arby's horsey sauce, horse's Arby sauce, sauce's Arby horse. Bath salts, turkey jerky, pepperoncini.
Did you say bath salts?
Boy, Neosporin, a Kindle Fire, banana dipping dust. Guys, this is terrible. This is a bummer for me. You know what? This is a bummer for me.
Well, of course it is.
I'll never have a Super Bowl party. I'll never have Kevin Bean and Lisa May and Ralph Sinark over. I'll never get to give you guys 70-layer dip.
We can plan ahead and do it for next year. What? Say that again?
Because I died.
Oh.
in an accident. It's a weed accident.
So sad.
You remember?
Yeah, we do. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
B-E-L. I'm just saying.
Do I
have to? Bell. I give you Bell.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
B-E.
Beverly.
No.
No, I'm not.
L. L. Third letter. Brell.
No, there's no R, Kevin.
Oh. Aren't you glad you came back, Ralph?
He's going to die.
No, I'm not in the condition to take that.
All right.
Brell.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's good times.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz
right there.
Indeed. Hey, Bobby Brown, his daughter Christina, Bobby Christina, is still in a coma. Prognosis is not good. The family's denying that she's brain dead. The sources at the hospital have been saying that. She's, at best, struggling. Going to have another child with his current wife. Or a second child. This is his fifth child. Has he done a great job, you think, as a father? A great job?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about his kids or how he's raised them. It stayed out of TMZ if it's been bad.
Yeah. Well, he's got two grown children from a previous relationship. It's not Whitney Houston. So,
the more moms, the better. That's the way I look at it.
I guess, yeah. Who's with me? Yeah, just spread that seed around. Just have as many kids with as many women as you possibly can. So he just announced he's pregnant with his second child, with Alicia Etheridge, who is not only his wife, but also his manager. She's doing a bang-up job. Mila Kunis. She's got a new movie coming out this weekend. She's got the Jupiter Ascending. She was on Conan O'Brien saying she didn't realize one of the side benefits of having a baby, her new baby Wyatt, of course, is that it's opened up a whole new world of boobs to her. Said she never had much up front until she got pregnant. Now it's a whole new world.
All right.
And Conan surprised her with a photo of Channing Tatum at the premiere of their movie, totally checking out her new girls. So they're getting attention.
From 3 feet, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Really too close to be zeroed in.
Exactly. And this is sad. Did you know Gary Glitter, the name sound familiar?
Sure.
Rock and roll
50s, 40s, 70s.
He had a song called Rock and Roll Part 2.
They played it's all sporting events.
Yeah, okay. They played at all the sporting events. He was found guilty yesterday in a whole bunch of sexual abuse crimes against three girls, all under the age of 13, mind you.
Ooh.
This trial has lasted 2 weeks in London. He was arrested in the fall of 2012, and these offenses go back as far as 1975. Jury found him guilty on 5 crimes altogether. He could very well spend the rest of his life in prison, and should. He is sentenced. He'll be sentenced on February the 27th, so we'll keep you posted. But, yeah, he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
So I was glad to see that they found him guilty.
So do you think that, like, when the Michael Jackson trial was going on, people were pulling his music off the radio? Do you think that we won't hear that anymore at sporting events?
I don't know, because I don't feel like people associate that song with that guy.
He's not readily connected to
that. He's
not
famous enough.
I don't think so.
You don't say, oh, there's that Gary Glitter song I know so much. Kevin thought he was from the 40s. That's right. All you need to know about Gary Glitter's fame.
So I guess the one upside of not being more famous in this country is that he could still continue to make money every year off of that song, even if he's convicted of these crimes.
I don't think it's going to buy him much if he's behind the bars.
Yeah.
Maybe a pack of smokes here and there, but I don't think money's going to do him much good. In the Slammer, in the Hoosegow, in the Gray Bar Hotel.
Sure.
In the Stir. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv. Want to come join us? We'd love to have you. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No.
Come join us. Celebrity birthdays today. Dane DeHaan is 29 years old today. You know him from Chronicle and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Actress Alice Eve is 33. Axl Rose turns 53 years old.
Right?
Is that the Axl Rose music?
Yeah.
That was a curious choice. Rick Astley from the 40s, right?
From the 40s.
Axl Rose is 53. Tom Brokaw is 75 years old today. He, of course, was the longtime anchor at the NBC News desk. You're right.
He's the one who didn't lie, right?
As far as we know.
He's the guy who told the truth, that guy. Didn't make up stories.
As Kevin let you know early on in the celebrity birthdays, it is Rick Astley's birthday. Listener Edwin writes in, "In honor of Rick Astley's birthday, you should replay the classic bit where he called in to promote his yard sale. I think Tony Orlando was there as well, since it happened during Smeckfest. Hall of Fame!" Edwin writes in.
Yeah,
it is Rick Astley's birthday. He is 49 years old. You know, people have been listening to you for a long time, or just they're hip to your shenanigans, Hall of Famers,
and they're over our BS too.
They know what's going on.
Yeah, there's no question.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If there's one thing I know about Kevin, it's that he doesn't watch the news, because little kids don't watch the news. We've learned that. We've learned that about, right?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
I still enjoy it. Look, I'm like every other modern person in the 21st century. I get most of my information off the internet, but there is something still satisfying for me to sit down and for a half an hour get an encapsulation of the biggest stories of the world. Well, Brian Williams on NBC News has been doing the news for a long time there and has had a pretty good reputation up until this point. It's hard not to have a misstep on that big a platform. But he's kept his nose pretty clean until now, and he actually had to go on TV a few days ago and apologize for something that has been going on for a while. He was recently outed as misremembering a story. Here's Brian's apology.
I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent 2 harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
I think some people believe that the apology actually made things rather worse because he seemed to minimize the import of it.
So that didn't help.
It didn't help in some people's eyes. Plus, it's not just like off the cuff he said one thing one time about a thing that happened and got the details wrong. This is a story that he has told on television and at personal appearances numerous times over the past 12 years, like at least 7 times on television.
Wow.
He's told the story about being in a helicopter that was shot down when he wasn't in that helicopter. Does that sound like an honest mistake to you guys? Like, wouldn't you remember if you were on a helicopter that got shot down?
Completely.
Yeah, of course.
Now, he was in a group of helicopters.
Yeah, so that's
one of which was shot down. The one in front of him
was hit. Right. So my question was, he didn't say our helicopters or the helicopters we were in or anything like that, right?
At one point, he did say the one I was in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's got a long way back to get a lot of people's trust because people are just not understanding how a mistake like this could be made. But we thought we'd give him an opportunity to explain himself. The host of the NBC Nightly News, Brian Williams, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Williams. Thanks for squeezing us in today. We know you're very busy.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, fine, sir. I imagine it's been a difficult few days for you there at 30 Rock.
It has. I'm trying to apologize for this confusion, for misremembering what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that people will be able to forgive me.
Do you feel like people are believing that you just, quote, misremembered?
I certainly hope so. It was the fog of memory over the past 12 years that allowed me to conflate these two helicopters, and I mistakenly believed I was the one in the helicopter that was shot down.
Okay. Well, you've made the apology, and I guess it's just a question now of keeping your nose down, doing your job, and hoping that it sticks and people let you get back to just reporting the news.
Well, there's one thing I learned when I was a child.
Okay.
My sister, my brother, and I, we discovered an alien who was trapped here on Earth, and by leading him with a trail of Reese's Pieces, we were able to bring him back to our house and eventually able to help him phone home.
Are you talking about the movie E.T.?
No, this was me. This was me and my brother and sister.
You're positive, Brian, that you're not misremembering that from seeing it in a movie?
I'm pretty sure it was us.
Okay.
And from that experience, we learned how important it is to stick to your moral compass, to do what's right.
Right. What about the fog of memory, though? What about that?
No, well, funny. Memory can be a funny thing. Once I was in a temple trying to steal a golden idol, and a large boulder rolled down and chased me through the length of the temple out to the front of the temple.
That wasn't
there
you.
Was a Frenchman named Belloc who was waiting for me, and he took the idol from me.
This is ridiculous.
That's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
that's
I remember seeing that.
If I had a better memory, I would have known there was another way to get out of that temple.
Okay, again, you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you were thinking it was you, but that didn't happen to you either, Brian. None of that is you.
No, it did. It did happen. I distinctly remember it because one time, I remember there was a small beach community that was being plagued by a great white shark.
Okay, it was Jaws. It was Jaws.
With a police chief and a young oceanographer.
That wasn't
the three of us went out in a boat.
That wasn't you.
For what seemed like days, hunting that shark down. And I
none
remember
of this
eventually
happened to you.
The shark bit me in half. And I
okay, does that even make any sense to you that you got bit in half by a shark? You would know if that happened.
I think I would know if that happened. I'm pretty sure it did.
You got a long way back.
I remember one time I was watching television, and I saw my daughter on television, and her butt was being munched.
Okay, now that was you.
That did happen, yes.
Oh, crap.
That was.
Deny my dear.
Yes. The way, my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
Let's do one more showbiz beat before we get out of here for the weekend. Let's try to all play nice, have a good time, nobody yelling at anybody.
But 110%, right?
Let's give 110%, guys.
Right.
Let's make this the best damn showbiz beat of the whole week. What do you say, Ralph?
Shut up.
Hey, before you get into it, can I give you an update on something that we talked about earlier? Kevin asked the question, because it's Rick Astley's birthday today, he asked the question about how the Rickroll got started.
Right.
And one of our kind listeners sent in, and I just thought, I found this interesting, I think you will as well. It started back in May of 2007 was when the first Rickroll happened.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? Someone posted a link to the Rick Astley music video of Never Gonna Give You Up, disguised as a sneak preview for the then newly released video game Grand Theft Auto 4. Some guy just came up with it, and it just caught fire, and then everybody did it for years and years afterwards. So that's the beginning. That you can actually take it to. You can actually look at the beginning of that in May of 2007, and now we know.
When does the best showbiz of the week start? Was it before that or now?
I thought you asked the question about Rick Rolling and somebody gave us an answer. I thought that was worth a mention. All right, back to you, Ralph.
See what you've done, Kevin? You see?
Don't ask questions.
Goddamn right you don't ask questions. He's bad enough when you don't ask questions.
That's very true.
Now you want to take the dog off that chain? You got the rabid dog. You want to take it off the lead and just let it roam the neighborhood?
My bad, man. You're right. My bad. My bad.
All right, let's scrub all that in post and pretend we're just starting fresh right now, then.
Hey, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
How about billionaire pop stars stop suing people trying to make $1? How about that phenomenon? Will that ever happen?
Are we talking about Taylor Swift again?
No.
Oh.
Remember Katy Perry?
I remember her. Yeah. I just saw her on my TV a few days ago.
Remember back in the olden times when she was the thing?
Uh-huh.
So she did an event for Super Bowl, I think it was 49, if I remember correctly.
That was this past Sunday, yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Just this past Sunday?
Uh-huh, yes.
Seems a lot longer ago to
Sunday.
Me. I was shot down in a helicopter by some RPGs.
You were not.
That was not in my head. I think maybe my memory.
That was Brian Williams. That was not you.
But on stage, where she was dressed up as a hot dog and a stick girl.
Yes. With the sharks?
And she was dancing with the sharks and the palm trees and the surfboards.
Yeah.
Right.
People noticed that the shark on the left wasn't a very good dancer. Left shark became a thing. It became a meme. People started talking about it. A lot of people posting posts on Twitter about left shark, which is funny. It's just funny.
Right.
Left shark. Let's talk about left shark.
Agreed.
Left shark.
Uh-huh.
So one guy. There's one guy. Fernando Sosa. Good old Fernando. Nando, I call him.
Nando, sure.
He has a tiny little business he runs online where he makes 3D prints of politically themed sculptures like dictators and stuff like that, and you can buy them for like $25 a pop. You can do this thing, but he decided he's going to go apolitical for a change and create and print a left shark figure. He's going to make a little left shark statue for S's and giggles.
I think I would want that.
For you to pick up for $25 you order online. It comes, you put it on your desk, it's a little left shark.
That's absurd.
It's not hurting nobody.
Agreed.
Well, guess who stepped in?
Taylor Swift?
Nando received a letter from Katy Perry's lawyers.
But she didn't invent sharks, Ralph.
That's what I'm saying!
She doesn't own sharks.
She invented the dancing shark, though, did she not?
Our client, Katy Perry, recently has learned that you have been involved in the manufacture, sale, marketing, and distribution of merchandise featuring a shark sculpture which embodies and uses the Super Bowl halftime show that she was partially involved in creating, and you've displayed this product on your website in connection for such sale and distribution, writes her lawyer. Hmm. Not only are they demanding his cease and desist selling the product, but that he turn over any pre-existing products that he had in his possession. He's going to turn over his left shark stash. What? 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 How much does she need $25 a pop from the 13 left shark statues this guy was going to sell?
I doubt it.
Just leave him alone.
I doubt it.
And you didn't invent sharks. You didn't invent dancing sharks. And it's not your face, and it's not your name, it's not your likeness. It's just a shark. Stop it, rich people. How much richer do you need to be? Whatever money you're making off the left shark statue that you plan to sell, Nando needs it more than you do. He lives in Orlando, Florida, for God's sakes.
Oh, poor guy.
No one chooses to be there. He said, it looks like I'm going to go back to making statues of world leaders like Putin and Kim Jong-un and Chris Christie. They're much easier to deal with. Left shark. Now I got to make a heavy metal song called Left Shark.
You do. You do. You need to make
it online. Left shark! Left shark! Left shark! Omar, get me a bed. I gotta make my left shark song. Why do people have to just ruin the fun for everyone else?
I don't know, but I bet it cost her more to sue that dude than that dude was gonna make off the product.
I hope so. I hope she goes broke. Ready for Hee Haw the Musical?
I am so not.
Well, no, too bad. It's coming.
No interest in that.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's a thing. Well, they're working on it for Broadway.
God bless Middle America.
God bless them. Yeah, don't waste your time on Broadway. Take that right to Branson.
Yeah,
that'll run forever.
I got to tell you, Ralph, I was uncomfortable with the what's his face from. I can't believe I'm blanking on this.
From all those things that guy did that one time.
Is this part of the best show?
He was uncomfortable with the guy from The Thing. is what he
Blake
told
Shelton
us.
You hosted SNL a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. And
in his opening monologue, he did a hee-haw bit where he brought out the hay bales and he brought out the people with the, you know, the chewing on the grass or whatever, and the pipe corn cob pipe, and they sang the hokey banjo song.
Yes.
And I just thought, it's just such an outdated stereotype from the 60s and 70s that just doesn't hold water at all anymore. It was like watching, I don't know.
No, you don't.
Something that wasn't current. I'm just saying, I can't believe that there's an audience for that kind of entertainment anymore.
Please,
I just
can't. Stop talking. just stop it.
Shut the F up. What's wrong
with you? Lisa, you got my back though, right?
No, she doesn't.
I know what you're saying. I just watched it. It was not good.
I have guy that doesn't make any sense. Take it already.
That role is filled.
That is not your job.
What I'm saying is there's no audience out there to bring back
hee-haw. You.
It was a time and a place that's passed.
Holy crap. You just won't let it go, will you? You're a dog with a freaking bone.
The best showbiz report of the week
starts now. I'm out. I am pulling the ripcord. Today's celebrity birthday.
Come on, we still got time.
Let him pull it.
Legendary news anchor Tom Brokaw, 75 years old today. Singer Axl Rose turns 53. Actress Alice Eve is 33 years old today. Dane DeHaan, actor from The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Chronicle, he is 29 years old. And Rick Astley is 49. I wonder how the whole Rick Roll thing got started.
How dare you?
Go back to the podcast. It's the last hour of this report.
Holy crap. I'm not comfortable with that guy who did the thing with the guy. Hitler?
Close. Blake Shelton.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Oh, dear God in heaven. Grammy Sunday night. Full recap Monday. Walking Dead, by the way, Sunday night as well.
Woo-hoo.
And Better Call Saul.
Don't bogart the joints, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just open your mouth and close your eyes and get on your knees.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now?
Roll another one.
I love it. I love that crap.
Just like the other one.
Screw all the haters, what they say.
This one seems to be about
I'll be back in 24 to 72 hours. Have a cold pitcher of water and some orange slices ready for me. You know what? I'm really going to go for this motherfucker, so you better have some grapefruit ready, too.
Do that on the air.
This one seems to be about sense.
Can't tell me nothing.
I don't have another cent.
You are a legitimate fat. You are a chubby
bitch. I don't want to guard that joint.
This calls for a drink.
Woo. Just pass it around.
I don't have time for you to be a douche.
Just hit a water buffalo.
Just pass it on down.
No! I'm an American. I pick myself up off the ground. I put my underwear back on and I say, "F*** you assholes. I'll find my own way home." You may applaud.
You know, again, I'm not your dad, but I would get out while you still can.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So long. That's all. Goodbye.
Maybe you'll thank me for this.